before I get to my next guest, whom I've been very excited to talk to, apologies are in order. I told Cliff I'd give him the final word, and then he said something I felt like I had to respond. So I broke my word, Cliff. I promise I won't try to do it next time. You call back anytime. I appreciate the conversations, even though we disagree on this. And I'll tell you what, we'll pick it up tomorrow or even later on in the show here. But I wanted to have a conversation because yesterday there was a hearing out in Congress on the Senate side about artificial intelligence, the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee on Privacy, Technology, and the Law got together, and they had some, guests, witnesses that testified about artificial intelligence. And some of those comments were startling to me. And, there's one person that came to mind, Dr. Ann Denton, NDSU, a friend of the show, joins us yet again. Dr. Denton, how are you?
Fine, and thanks for having me again. I really always, it's a highlight to be able to come here.
Oh, we appreciate it. You're a highlight for our guests, too. We always get good, positive compliments about having you in to talk about some of these things that are on people's minds. I'm going to start here. Is it because I grew up in the late 80s, 90s, and Terminator 2 Judgment Day was like a hit show, that has now been the basis of my fear of artificial intelligence? Has it been skewed from the very beginning for me? Because you have comments about all this and saying, yep, they're going to become self-aware, and then that's it.
Well, I mean, I grew up that way too, so
okay. It's not just me.
I don't have the control experience. So Terminator definitely had a big impact on anybody who.
Yeah, I didn't watch it. It's like, okay, well, then now we have people playing around with this. It's like, okay, this is Skynet all over. This is how it started here. But the way I understand the way this hearing started, or why it convened, is because you got Republicans and Democrats watching in real time how this is rapidly changing. Artificial intelligence, the way it can write essays, the way we can have hosts here on KFGO say, okay, sound like this person, and they have it sound like one of our co-hosts or our co-workers. It's concerning, to say the least, of the potential of it. So starting the conversation off, they had OpenAI CEO Sam Altman on. So you followed up on some of that hearing. What was the crux of it yesterday?
Well, so, I mean, again, one of the, as you said, one of the things I thought was most surprising was how bipartisan the discussion was, that it was not something that was a partisan issue at all. Sort of the most extreme demand of just pausing it for half a year. Even the person who was had signed that request didn't really believe that it was going to
be possible
to happen. It was really more everybody really trying to find a solution. And I mean, that's good to hear. And I think everybody really seems to be shocked at how quickly that has advanced. Even being in the research community, I mean, a year ago we had no idea this would go so quickly. One of the things that only came out in the hearing right towards the very end was that maybe the thing that was most surprising was that Microsoft did not pull back its Sydney chatbot when it screwed up so badly.
Yeah. I said, oh, no, it's not that. And that might be the underlying thing. We can use Microsoft as an example here, but or it could go to Google, where Jeffrey Hinton left Google because he raised concerns over artificial intelligence. So you have all these people now coming out, Microsoft not so much. Is the cat out of the bag already? Is it already too late to have, as you said, let's put a six-month moratorium on any advancements? Well, Russia's not going to stop doing that. China's not going to stop with their AI. It might be looking different, but is it too late already?
No, I do not think so. And I mean, this is not the first time that there is technology that we don't really, where we can't really assess the impact. And that doesn't mean all is good. I mean, the last time we had really fundamentally, well, and I mean, of course, here being in radio, radio to me, I think I mentioned this last time.
You did, but we have a new audience every time, yeah. So relay it for those that might just be hearing you for the first time.
I grew up, my dad's dad had a radio repair shop in Nazi Germany, and I grew up with the conviction that a major part of the fact that the Holocaust could happen was that people were not prepared for radio.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, just the fact that we have now concluded that radio is actually 100 times as safe as social media and chatbots and whatever else, it's because we have learned to live with it. But that doesn't mean that that shouldn't leave us with the impression, oh, there is no problem because radio didn't end up being a problem. Radio was a problem. I mean,
and every household had one.
That was, yeah, the fact that there were suddenly instigators, propagandists talking in the people, middle of people's living room, and people were not used to that, was a major part of why the Holocaust went the way it went, why people believed the propaganda that they were getting. So, I mean, just the fact, and I mean, you could go back with any innovation technology. Mm-hmm. I mean, the printing press, the 30 Years' War was still an indirect consequence of the printing press. So, and that makes this a very dangerous time. Mm-hmm. You cannot screw back technology, but what you can do is to put guardrails on, as I think you have mentioned mm-hmm. a number of times too. And I think there are some really crisp recommendations that came out of this hearing. Some of the demands that were repeated was transparency, impact assessment, and then legislation based on risk. So, and I think that's the key ones. We should not talk with something and not know that it is an AI. There should be disclosure. It is an AI.
Mm-hmm.
There also should be a disclosure. What was it trained on? And maybe the most difficult one is when there's, for example, a statement. This was written in the Washington Post. There was some case where the Washington Post was referenced, but the article didn't exist. When there is an article reference, there should be a link to the article. That one, I actually spent the drive here in my mind picturing what large language models look like and trying to give you a sense of how difficult this would be. I couldn't completely answer it. There are actually two ways you could do this. Mm-hmm. One way, you could code it in the language. The other is you could go back after the fact and relate the two.
Sure. So, and link the two together. The disclosure thing is something I want to take a dive into, because in the world of politics, in the world you brought up propaganda, I mean, there's already been examples out there of fake images that people have used, fake or AI, artificial intelligence created videos, campaign ads. And if it's not disclosed, I mean, we've seen how misinformation and disinformation, lies, whatever you want to call it, as misleading statements have become fact for some people. And how these lines are going to be blurred so much because of this technology is something that really concerns me. Before we get to a break, though, and get a weather update, we do have audio. This hearing that took place yesterday, the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee on Privacy, Technology, and the Law had OpenAI CEO Sam Altman on. And the committee asked him about concerns he might have as somebody that is a pioneer in this industry. So take a listen to this, and then we'll get a reaction after weather.
We have tried to be very clear about the magnitude of the risks here. I think jobs and employment and what we're all going to do with our time really matters. I agree that when we get to very powerful systems, the landscape will change. I think I'm just more optimistic that we are incredibly creative and we find new things to do with better tools, and that will keep happening. My worst fears are that we cause significant We, the field, the technology, the industry, cause significant harm to the world. I think that could happen in a lot of different ways. It's why we started the company. It's a big part of why I'm here today and why we've been here in the past and we've been able to spend some time with you. I think if this technology goes wrong, it can go quite wrong. And we want to be vocal about that. We want to work with the government to prevent that from happening. But we try to be very clear-eyed about what the downside case is and the work that we have to do to mitigate that.
When you hear CEO Sam Altman say, hey, my worst fears are that we cause significant harm to the world if this technology goes wrong, and it can go quite wrong, and we want to be vocal about that. Okay, you got my attention, and I want to hear about some of the significant harm examples. And obviously, I want to finish off, well, what good has come of artificial intelligence as well? Dr. Ann Denton is my guest. I got to get you a weather update from Too Tall Tom Schmancy. You got a question, comment, you can send that in right now to 35270. And we'll come back with that conversation next here on KFGO. Dr. Ann Denton, my guest, Department of Computer Science and Operations Research at North Dakota State University. We're talking about artificial intelligence. Do you know it when you see it? Will you when a campaign season's upon us? That's my biggest concern. But before we got a weather update, we played some audio from OpenAI CEO Sam Altman saying, significant harm could be done to the world if this goes wrong. And Dr. Denton, I'm curious, what does he mean?
Well, there are a lot of places where things can go really wrong. And I mean, anybody who has played with ChatGPT probably has gotten some really strange advice. I mean, there've been things shared on how do you prepare for a long distance race? I mean, and with the Fargo Marathon coming up next weekend, don't ask. Well, I mean, it's too late now anyway, but I mean,
if you're just starting to start preparing, it's too late.
It's probably too late. But apart from that, if you asked ChatGPT a month ago, you probably would have gotten the wrong advice. So any medical or any such advice, I mean, it will put together pieces in what sounds right. I mean, you can sort of imagine a person coming in who has been trained with everything that everybody has told them, but can't reason about it and just blurts out what sounds best.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you probably all know the person who does that. I mean, I certainly know people who can make things sound so well, they end up in every fancy conversation, and then when you actually probe them, you start realizing there's not really
it's
a whole
all
lot
face behind. Value, yeah.
And I mean that's really the way to think about a lot of what ChatGPT is doing. And I mean, you with the other generative AI, the DALL-E and so on. I mean, you see ties cut off and things like that.
Yeah, not my biggest fear. I clearly have a lot of concerns about this, and we'll get into that in the next hour. Here is the technology. Going to continue to improve, so those obvious errors aren't as obvious anymore, and those that are maybe a little bit more gullible because, well, I found it online, right? Well, I saw it on Facebook, so it's got to be true, right? That's going to be the norm, and you're not going to be able to tell that this was generated from not a human being but some artificial intelligence and an algorithm out there. I got to get some CBS and KFGO news. You got more time for me?
Sure.
Dr. Ann Denton going to be taking us into the next hour as well. If you have a comment, conversation, join us this hearing yesterday. And of course, you've been seeing some of it. Maybe you're unaware of it. We'll break some of that down because I had an example this week about a political campaign photo that made the rounds. Everybody said, well, if he's doing it, why isn't the other guy? Well, that guy wasn't doing it. I'll explain it to you when we come back. I'm Tyler Axtis. You're listening to KFGO Fargo. In studio is Dr. Ann Denton, Department of Computer Science Operations Research, just talking about artificial intelligence. Now, some of you probably saw this photo, and this was just the latest example of what worries me going into another campaign season. A photo of, in the last example, was of Donald Trump in an African-American neighborhood. And, of course, what was going on was, well, geez, you didn't ever see Obama doing this. Well, neither did Donald Trump. It was artificially intelligent created for that, but it was so tough to tell that it was not a real photo. And if people that want to use this in a bad way get better at it, then what are we? How are we going to discern what's real and what's not? But Dr. Den, the other thing that one of our coworkers just brought up is, and this is fair because jobs that could be replaced because, well, you just have a computer to do this. We've seen that with automation and other forms. But if you can have this stuff, and we've heard it here, get close enough to sounding like somebody, think about scams, thinking about being duped into giving up your personal information. Some of those real-world non-political aspects of this are actually concerning, too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I think that's a large part of what people are concerned about. And I mean, with scams, I mean, with something like ChatGPT, you can say, well, if Congress passed some law that you needed a license, and Sam Altman even suggested that licensing, you could say, you could withhold a license if the AI doesn't perform. But I mean, if somebody random create some scam, I mean, that's not under, I mean, you could sue them, but I mean, that doesn't help.
Yeah.
I mean, with scamming, that doesn't help. And I mean, this, of course, yeah, as you point out yourself with I mean, we've had Photoshop and so on, and it's just getting so much better, so much more real, and so much. So basically, when Photoshopping started, we started to learn recognizing it. Mm-hmm. I imagine eventually we'll start recognizing the newer AI, but it's all behind the. It takes a long time after this is available until you can recognize it.
Right.
And I mean, impact assessment, of course, is something that was mentioned in this hearing a lot, because I mean, if we spent the money on impact assessment, and I mean, this is, I think, My biggest wish was that we spend as much effort on impact assessment as we do on the development of new technology.
So impact assessment, give me an example there of what you mean by impact assessment of the technology.
Well, I mean, the example, I mean, last time we talked about how ChatGPT can't play chess. Mm-hmm. It can't even follow the rules of chess. Anytime I mention this to somebody, the person has heard it from somebody who tried this. But, I mean, there is no, there wasn't anything like a deliberate paid effort to find out all of what it cannot do, and then come up with a warning label of, in this hearing, they called it, I think, something like a food label.
Sure.
So just something, what is in this box? Can you expect it to do this? Or should you not expect it to do this? Does it do okay on this? Or is it really terrible on that? If there was just an assessment done, and then that mm-hmm. mandated to be publicized with the tool, and I think that would address some of the issues that I said between generative AI versus the conventional logic-based AI. So the ChatGPT is not what. Not the classic thing of what we considered AI in the 1990s. In the 1990s, AI was something that could reason perfectly, and maybe the chess robots wouldn't always win, but they would always follow the rules. That's what conventional logic-based AI can be expected to do. The generative AI, which... For example, ChatGPT or any of the others, the generative AI ones, they cannot be expected to do that. It would tremendously help if there was some independent agency that would come up with an assessment report mm-hmm. and maybe really concisely summarize label. Can we expect this?
To follow the
reason.
Rules.
Yeah. Follow rules, draw logical conclusions, calculate 75 plus 93, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. a generative AI cannot do. What can we expect off this?
It's not too late to maybe get it right. So when I'm hearing Sam Altman say, hey, if it goes wrong, it could go real wrong, we're not past that point is what I'm hearing from.
I would say we can never know that, but okay. It's never a good idea to not start.
Yeah. And fingers crossed it's not too late. The genie's not already out of the bottle. Okay. Final question for you. I'm taking more of your time than what I asked for today. There's got to be an upside to having this available too, right, as far as artificial intelligence. Give me some examples that we can leave on a high note of, okay, this is what's promising potentially with this.
I mean, it solves a lot of problems. There's no question that, I mean, A friend of mine posted just a couple of days after ChatGPT came out. He had some question about some very specific Cisco router. He put it in, and it answered it correctly. I mean, that sort of thing. I mean, if you don't have to dig into manuals, I mean, that's...
Those end up in the trash the second I open the box. Then I get angry when I can't figure out how things work. So there is some... Because you don't just make something just to make it, right? So there's got to be a positive here. But like other tools that people have made before, if it goes into the wrong hands, it could be used the wrong way. And I think that's the biggest concern that a lot of us have when we hear about the potential of this and what could be done if somebody that's not ethical, not responsible, actually uses it intentionally a wrong way. Yeah. That's why. Do you trust Congress, ladies and gentlemen, to actually regulate this the right way? So I don't know that they fully understand it either. So hopefully they get the professionals to do just that. Dr. Denton, anything else that I missed today before I let you go?
No, I think that captures it.
Well, I appreciate your time as always. We'll chat again soon, all right? Dr. Ann Denton, she's a professor up at North Dakota State University, the Department of Computer Science and Operations Research. Messages into 35270. I'm coming back to you the whole rest of the way. It's you, me, this microphone, and your cell phone. You're listening to After News Live on KFGO.